Welcome to the High Vibe Show, living the high vibe life with me, your host, Elisa V, and together with my guests, experts in the art of living in a state of high vibration, we have got an amazing show for you today. My passion is to educate and inspire you to raise your frequency to a high vibrational state. Whether you're an awakened soul to the power of your own consciousness as a light being, or you're new to this spiritual path of expansion and growth, which is made possible through vibrating at a high level, you are in the right place. So stay here to experience fun frequency upgrades now, so you can manifest all you want and help to raise the collective vibration of our wonderful world. Let's hit the restart button and high vibe it together. The High Vibe Show starts now. Hello and welcome. I'm Elisa V, and you're listening to The High Vibe Show, living the high vibe life here on Transformation Talk Radio. And you can find us here every first and third Monday of the month, 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. Our show is all about living in a state of high energy frequency, and this includes the energy of love, empathy, and abundance. And when we're in these energies, we're able to live happier, healthier, and more fulfilling lives. Today, I am thrilled to be launching my show with our special guest, Catherine Edwards. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, it's lovely to be joining you all here from the UK.
Yes, I know. And I love your natural background. Just a little bit about Catherine. Catherine is a biologist, a passionate knowledge sharer, an animal lover like me, and the host of her own podcast and YouTube channel. And she helps animals and their humans live happier, healthier lives using natural solutions, addressing the root cause, and connecting back with nature. So how are you today?
I'm great. And you'll be pleased to know I've got three cats in here with me, making the most. I've got a nice fire going. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? In terms of connecting in. And I think we're going to be having a great discussion today about our furry friends.
Oh, yes. And, you know, just I want to tell you, I had been following you for a while on your podcast. And then we ran into a little bit of trouble a few months ago with my daughter's cat, Wylan. He was having a really bad time with coughing. And we had a wonderful discussion. I did one of your courses with my daughter, Kelsey. And I am so pleased to say that he has not coughed in months.
Oh, that's just incredible.
It really is. We were so scared, you know, when we were talking to you, we were so nervous about the little guy. So I'm looking forward to jumping in. But before we do, this is what I hope to be one of my signature questions on the High Vibe Show. I just want to know what it is about what you do, your vocation, that most raises your vibration on a daily basis that keeps you so committed to doing what you do.
Wow, that's such a good question. And I've never been asked that before, actually. Let me think. Well, I don't even need to think. I think when I'm working with humans or animals, my passion is to really make people aware of what the issues are there that are hitting us all, and then provide natural solutions for them. And what really keeps me in such a high vibe place is the body's ability to repair and heal itself. Whether you're talking about the soil, whether you're talking about the trees, whether you're talking about your cat, or whether you're talking about us, when we see what amazing recovery abilities we've got, when we start putting the right information, and information can come from food, water, environment, words, everything that's got a vibration back into ourselves, it's amazing how quickly we can repair, regenerate, and get back on course. So that gives me great hope for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you just said, because it really is about that energy, and whether the energy is coming from what we put in our bodies, what we think, what the, you know, what that general energy is that surrounds us and that we bring into ourselves and with our pets, our furry friends. It is really what it's all about. So tell me a little bit, you know, from your experience, how are some of the ways that just being with and in the presence of our animals, does that actually help to raise our frequency?
Well, I love that question as well, actually. I mean, I think, unfortunately, at the moment, humans have disconnected themselves a lot from nature. Now, obviously, everyone's personal situations are different, but our lifestyles, our busy lifestyles in front of computers, attached to phones, not necessarily walking lots of places, not growing our own food and vegetables anymore. We've really lost that connection and balance with nature. And even domesticated animals, even when you're talking about dogs, cats, guinea pigs, horses, whatever it might be, even when we take them out of nature and put them in a human environment, they've still got a lot more of a connection, I think, than most of us humans have. They still understand how to use their instincts, how to really connect back in with the energy that's surrounding them. So you'll see animals stretching. Anyone who's got a dog or cat, they're brilliant at their yoga poses. They'll shake things off. They'll stretch things off. They'll have energy bursts. They'll get up and move. They'll know when to rest and when to move. So I think when we share our lives with animals, there's so much we can learn about looking how they're trying to constantly course correct and bring themselves back into balance, that it can be a real prompt to us to get up and move, to sort of do something different, shake it off. And I think that's so, so important, because when we lose that connection, for me, every disease, whether it's mental or physical, is down to a breakdown of those communication channels, both with us and our environment and internally. And animals have still got that innate ability to really search out and seek out that connection.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny what you said about how they're naturally drawn to things. Like if you watch your animals, they will always follow the sun, right? Cats and dogs, they're always finding the places to like lay in the house or on the couch or wherever the sun is moving throughout the day. It's just such a natural thing that they want, you know, they naturally crave that energy that comes from the sun. And even if you consider what we've been doing over the last, say, 100 years or so, maybe a little longer, like we cover our feet, you know, our feet are always covered with some kind of insulated shoe, and that doesn't allow us to ground ourselves. I mean, my kids think I'm crazy because whenever they feel a little sluggish, I'm like, go outside. Even if it's like 30 degrees, I'm like, go outside and walk on the grass with your bare feet, because the animals have that natural grounding. You know, I mean, the domesticated ones and the ones in the house, unfortunately, especially house cats, don't have that same, you know, ability to partake in that. But our dogs, our horses, the ones that are roaming outside, they're able to take from the earth all of that energy and essence. Would you agree?
Yes, but one of my biggest areas is trying to encourage horse owners to actually go barefoot again, because putting a solid metal shoe on a horse, not only does it cause a lot of physical issues, but also it stops the grounding of it. So I think a lot of modern practices that we've done, like, as you say, wearing shoes, you even see now a lot of people with dogs are obsessed about putting coats on them. And all of these things are stopping them absorbing vitamin D, stopping them grounding themselves. So I think when we look at a lot of the modern practices about how we've been taught to look after and care for our pets, unfortunately, a lot of them are taking them away from health and wellness and not towards them. And it's the same, I think, Eliza, is the same with us. And my passion is to really get people back to trusting their instincts and good old common sense to, you know, the first principle is do no harm. And unfortunately, whether it's the food, the water, the chemicals, the shoes on horses, the coats on everything, we've got to really get back to making sure that dogs are allowed to be dogs, cats are allowed to be cats, and humans are allowed to be humans and actually behave as we're meant to. And when we start doing some of those things, like movement's a huge issue. Whether it's humans or dogs, most of them don't get enough movement. House cats, it's a huge problem for house cats. So I know it's not always possible. You know, sometimes cats need to be kept inside for their own safety, But if we need to do that, my passion is to help people understand how if their animals can't get out in nature, how they can bring the nature, the movement, the environment to their animals to try and compensate for that.
So give me a few, because I'm sure we have a lot of, you know, a lot of cat people on watching today. And cats, like you said, sometimes it's not safe to let them go outside, especially when we're living near roads and, you know, God forbid they can get, they don't understand traffic patterns. Yeah. So they can get hurt and get killed. Give me, you know, why don't you give our audience some ideas of what are those ways to kind of bring nature in and things we could do, particularly for cats. And, you know, dogs are a little different, right? You know, because we're kind of in the mode of letting them run around our yards and they won't really usually escape as much and you can walk them. But cats, I see it with my own cats, you know, and I can see sometimes they get bored just being inside. Oh, yeah. You're not out there hunting and trying to catch, you know, different critters.
It's much worse than just boredom, unfortunately. So some of the ways I would do it, if you have to keep your cat inside, if there's a way that you can move and give your cat or dog a more natural life, it's really important too, because any animal kept inside, you're going to have to work really, really hard to keep them physically and emotionally healthy. But of course, that's better than them being kept in a rescue organization all their life. So we do the best we can. But some ideas about how you can bring nature. You see, I've got plants all over my office. Getting cat safe plants, and it's really important you do your research on that. I grow I should have brought it over actually. I've got some growing there. I grow seeds of wheatgrass that I sprout and then grow so the cats can get their paws in the earth. You know, have an area of your house, even if it's in the bathroom, so they can make a mess, where you can put a little litter tray full of dirt so they can actually get on the dirt. Bring wood in, real branches, so they can claw on woods. Ideally, put platforms up so they can climb and jump, because cats need to climb and jump. I work with people to help them understand what herbs are safe and how to safely use things like essential oils. Please don't diffuse essential oils with your cats. That can be really dangerous. So there's so many different ways. Having herbs growing in your house and putting them in different rooms. Again, do your research to make sure their cat or dog safe. So what you're doing is you're bringing nature into the house, letting them ground in earth and sand, letting them claw on natural wood, letting them jump and climb is really, really important. And it can literally transform their lives. And the thing I love is it will transform your life as well, because there's nothing more great at relieving stress than seeing an animal move like that and seeing how happy they can be with some small changes that you can put in.
Yeah. And so I see your background. It's absolutely lush and beautiful. So tell me, when your cats are around, what do they do? Do they want to chew on the herbs and the plants? Do they just like to touch them? Like, give me an example of what that's like.
Well, my cats are all, I live in the countryside and all my cats have got free rein. They've got cat flaps everywhere so they can go in and out as they like. So really, they don't touch many of the house plants, although I do always make sure they're safe, because you can't be sure that they're not going to go and have a chew on them. Sure. Animals are very good at not poisoning themselves if you give them choice. But if you shut them in a house and the only plant life they've got access to is poisonous, then you're going to be in trouble. If you've got a huge garden like I have and paddocks and things, then they'll still clear of any dangerous stuff. But what I do always have is I have scratching pads. And in the winter in the UK, we can have horrible winters. And some of my older cats do not like going outside when it's pouring with rain and windy. So I've always got litter trays away from their feeding areas. I've always got safe house plants in there. I've always got a good collection of herbs that they'll love to go and sniff, chew on. And cats will often rub on herbs. Anyone who's listened to this, you'll see I'm doing some very weird actions as I'm talking through this. So rolling, cats love to roll on herbs. You can get some safe dried herbs like calendula or chamomile or basil or parsley, and you can put them on little towels and let them rub and chew on ones. Valerian root and catnip are obviously very popular as well. And one of the things I like to do when people have got house cats is almost make each room of the house a little different sensory area for them. So you might have one area that's got flooring that's very easy easy to clean, or you can put a bit of plastic that you could put a dirt tray down for them. And then you might have another area where you could sprinkle some herbs for them. Just get them around exploring and really making the most of it. I've just bought one of my cats because she's always knocking my computer off my desk. You can get these amazing beds that suction and pad onto the windows, and you're so right, they love to be in the sunshine. So she's loving sitting up there in the day in the window, getting all the sunshine, but she still wants to be near to me. So be creative, and it's such great fun. And the other thing I would say is look and sort of say, well, look, my cat knows how important it is to get out in the sunshine. Am I doing the same for myself as well? And take some of the clues from them.
Yes, that is really a good point. We can learn so much from them. And I wanted to kind of ask you, because I know I'm pretty passionate about this, like, what do you feel about animals and their spirituality? For example, you know, we hear a lot of times how we come into this world and we have a soul family of humans. What's your thoughts on the soul family or the soul connections that we may actually have with our animals as well?
Oh, that's such a good one. I mean, everyone's going to have different belief systems on this. My personal belief system is I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that you attract into your environment the animals and the people that you're meant to connect with at the right time. And so I believe there's a very strong soul connection between animals and their humans in their lives. And I think one of the things that probably saddens me most is that people don't necessarily respect the two-way communication for that, because I hear a lot of people in the spiritual community talking about how animals are here, almost as if it's here to serve us, as if they're here to take on our burdens for us and to be here and help us through our journey. And what I don't hear enough of is the spiritual community talking about our responsibility back to the other species, the rest of the animal species, the rest of the planet, and what our responsibility is as caregivers and guardians on that. And one of my biggest bugbears, and I will definitely say it, is the fact that, you know, if you're responsible for any other being, whether it's an aloe vera plant, a cat, a guinea pig, a horse, I would really take that responsibility very seriously, because in any relationship, you get out what you put in. And a lot of people, I think, now have lost that common sense approach, and they don't really give enough thought in terms of they're looking at how the animal fits into their human life, rather than how they can adjust their human life to make it more fulfilling as a two-way partnership.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with education, because we are coming from the perspective of being human. And so sometimes we put that on our pet or our animals, thinking that what we think is a form of communication or what something means is going to mean the same thing for them. So it's so important to understand their cues, to understand why they do certain things. You know, like you see so many times people are trying to break their animal in. Yeah. And yes, you need to have certain rules, right? We all do. We all have to conform us to a certain extent, right, to coexist. But to understand how to really hear the communication that your animal is saying and why they do certain things also brings a certain respect. Because if you're only coming from it from your perspective as a human, you're going to disregard, and you're also going to get angry. You see a lot of people getting angry at their pets because they're not acting the way they think they should, instead of understanding and communicating on that level of knowing where the needs of that animal are. I agree with you 100% about that. I mean, I'm a believer that they have souls like us, and, you know, they come into our lives for certain reasons. And there's just such innocence and authenticity to animals. You know, if you're with them, it's no wonder that the scientific studies have shown that people who live with animals, you know, it lowers their blood pressure. They are more healthy. They have stronger immune systems, because there's something just so close to nature and the spirit world about them. I know you know, it gets my goat when I hear people talk about them like they're objects. You know, that really gets me crazy. You know, if you have an animal, they really should in many ways become part of the family. And, you know,
in every way, I wouldn't even say that it should in any, they are part of the family. And unfortunately, if you take an animal on, you are their caregiver and you are responsible for all their decisions. Now, with my cats, because they can go out and hunt what they like, they've got a little bit of free will. But if your animals can't go out and hunt, for example, then you're responsible for their food, for their water, for their company, for their exercise, for the chemicals that do or don't go into them. And I think it's really important people take that responsibility really, really seriously, because they are completely dependent on us. And a lot of things go horribly wrong when we don't educate ourselves into, you know, what does a dog need to eat? How often does it need to eat? You know, all these things come into it. And I think that's the basic duty of care. If you're going to have, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a goldfish, a dog, a cat, a horse, whatever species it is, to really enjoy and be passionate about educating yourself as much as possible about what their needs are and how you as their caregiver can really give them the best possible home.
Yes, I agree. You know, I heard a quote that I think is so true. It just resonated with me. It's by Anatole France, and it's, until one has loved an animal, a part of one's soul is unawakened. Yeah. And I just love that quote, because people that really open their hearts to animals, I think they help us to grow so much. They really do. And you're right, we need to give back, because they just naturally give of themselves, and we need to kind of match that in the same way and give back. So we talked a little bit about what we can do to, you know, enable more natural settings within our homes in those instances where, you know, we don't have the advantage of, a lot of us aren't living in the country and where it's safer to let them roam. But we still want to share our lives, right? I mean, so many people want pets, they live in apartments, so they live in, you know, high traffic areas. What would you say is, when you're talking about the caregiving that we give to our animals, we're talking mostly about things like food, exercise, their environment. Tell me, if you could briefly, what are some of the ways, and of course, I know you offer a lot of courses on this, but some of the ways that people can become a little more educated about the nutritional needs of their animals, you know, if like a, almost like a 101, or even talk a little bit about the courses that you offer, because most people just don't know. And I think they try their best and they think they're doing, it's not that they don't care, but they don't have enough information or knowledge or know where to look to get that education. So they give the best possible food and nutrition to their animals.
I think, I know we haven't got much time, so I'll keep it really brief, but there's so many online resources now. I have online courses for dog and cat nutrition, and I have courses on how to work with herbs and essential oils safely with your animals. But there's so much out there. Dr. Peter Tobias is an amazing Canadian vet. He's got a brilliant website, which has got some brilliant resources on there as well. There is a lot out there. And I think the first thing I would do is take a sit down and realize it's common sense. You know, if anyone's sitting there that have got children, no one would, who's got any common sense, would think, if I feed a brown hard lump of kibble to my cat or dog every day, that that is a healthy, balanced diet. You know, if you wouldn't do it to yourself, don't do it to your animals. So I think first and foremost, I think it's about taking self-responsibility for, look, come on now, I'm not stupid. If I really give this even 15 minutes thought, I realize that I can't give any animal the same meal every day from a tin or a packet and expect that to be healthy. Once you've admitted, okay, now I've got to do a bit better, which we all do, we're all learning things every day, then there's so many online resources that you can get to look up how to feed my dog naturally, how to feed my cat naturally. If it's coming from a packet or a tin, it's not good enough, and that will put a lot of stress on the animal physically and emotionally. So I think self-responsibility, have a willingness to be the best pet parent that you possibly can, and then just open yourself up to really enjoying the learning is a really fantastic way forward.
Beautifully said. Now, Catherine, how can people get in touch with you? And maybe you want to tell them a little bit very quickly about your offer. We're going to put an offer for a discount with a discount code for your one of your courses. And how do they get in touch with you?
So I've got two websites. The first website, which is the first one I recommend people go to, is CatherineEdwards.life, L-I-F-E. On that, there's a tab for consults, there's a tab for courses, there's a tab for products that I recommend. And these are all ones that are for humans and animals because I work with both. And then we've got an offer for all your listeners. If people go to either through CatherineEdwards.life, go to the courses tab, or they can go straight to CatherineEdwardsAcademy.com. And until the end of January, if they put in the code TALKRADIO, they will get 10% off any of the courses there, apart from the Holistic Equine Iridology Diploma, because that is a huge professional qualification. But I would really encourage people to go and have a look. And with those courses, Elisa, they can ask questions as they go through, get a lot of feedback, and really start their learning journey.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Catherine. I can't thank you enough for being on our launch show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And to our listeners, if anyone would like to get in touch with me, you can contact me through my website, hittingtherestartbutton.com. All my info is on there. And of course, you could sign up for my monthly newsletter. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. And I want you to remember that you can hit the restart button anytime, each day, and reset your frequency to bring yourself into a space of love, joy, and peace. Catherine, I wish you a beautiful day. And again, I thank you for joining us and for sharing the information that you did today and for your very generous offer to our listeners.
Absolute pleasure. Go and enjoy those animals, everyone. Thanks, Elisa.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to The High Vibe Show, Living the High Vibe Life. I'm your host, Elisa V, the Queen of High Vibe. Join us every first and third Monday of the month at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. This is the place to come for you to have loads of fun, frequency upgrades now, and have great guests to hear all about raising your frequency. For more information, visit hittingtherestartbutton.com. See you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.